It's good to see everybody out here today. It's so nice, you know, just come in and see a group of people, number one, that you know, and number two, that we all share in the spirit together. You know, that's a cool thing, you know. I love it, and I'm very happy, I'm going to say it again, for my daughter being here. I'm marveling that, you know, I can see her in the service here, and I dreamed about that for years. And so now it's, thanks, now it's come to pass. There's some others I'd like to see too, but we'll see what's happening here. Ask you to pray for everybody, you know, pray for everybody, pray for one for another. Scripture tells us to do that, tells us to love one another and to pray for one another. Isn't that true? There's a lot that all of us need. And I'm not talking about the needs of the world. I'm talking, there's a lot that we need from God. Until we've come to the fullness of the resurrection and taken up out of all of this, we're going to need God every single day, aren't we? We're going to need him for everything that we need to do in the spirit, in the word, in the following of him, in the obedience of him, in faith. We're going to need him for all of it. And it's a powerful thing when you start thinking about what God has been doing for us, you know. Very good thing. I think about, there's something I'm going to read to you today. Actually, I'm probably about two different books. The first one is Galatians. But let me say something first about these churches. Paul established a lot of Gentile churches. You know, Galatians is one of them. Corinthians, big one, you know, a big area that he established. But let me set something up. All of these Gentile churches at one time before Paul got there, they weren't churches. He established them. But before he got there to preach them out, these were people that were worshiping other gods, okay? I'm going to talk a little bit about the Corinthian church. You hear this term Corinthian carnality. I don't know if I agree with everything on that, but when the church was established, they were worshiping the two big gods that they were. They worshiped like 10. But the two big ones that they worshiped was Poseidon. You've heard that before. You know, they've named ships after it and areas of seas and all that stuff. Poseidon, what, in the Roman language, we call it Neptune. Neptune and Poseidon are the same thing. One's Greek, the other one's Roman. They're just different names. The other one is Aphrodite. You've heard of that before, Aphrodites, you know. So Aphrodite was the god that, you know, of pleasure, of lust, and, you know, things like that. And Poseidon was the god of the sea, you know, Neptune, whatever. But it's also the god of earthquakes. You know, when an earthquake came, they said it was Poseidon, you know, moving or doing whatever, you know, Neptune. And so, and then Aphrodite in the Roman, I think, is called Venus. You've seen those statues with the lady with the broken arm and all that stuff. That's Venus. That's a statue that was made over there to her, became very famous, and people replicated here. But that's Venus. That's a statue of Venus. And that was a god that they worship. You know, god for the seasons, for crops and everything. You know, things to be fertile, but also of lust and stuff, fertility. You know, fornication and fertility between people and all of that too. So they're the same. Aphrodite and Venus, same one, just two different countries, the way they worship them. And, you know, Poseidon and Neptune, two different countries, two different cultures. Paul had to preach to it all. You know, he had to know all of those things. And so these people, a lot of the things that they did, they related to the flesh and being carnal in the flesh. So when they worship these gods, they commit actual fornication or whatever. Or they would go out and offer something, you know, to, like, so the crops would be good. Or they'd bless the fishermen a certain way because they wanted Neptune to bring the fish into their nets and all that stuff. They believed that all of this was manifested in a physical realm. They had carnal thought that said these gods were going to do these things for us. the years that they had bad times, you know, like the fish, hey, we didn't catch very many fish, something's going on or whatever. They said, oh, he's angry at us. And that's why we didn't have very much. The crops didn't come, so he's angry at us. There was a famine in the land, so he's angry. These other gods, you know, they put everything in the physical, you know. And so what happened was gods to them, anything that was a god became a carnal thought. Their gods were produced by carnal thought. And what would they do? Since it's carnal, they would go right out there and manifest it. How would they manifest? They built temples to them. They built statues to them. They did all this stuff is still here. Some of it, people, you can go visit. You can visit Aphrodite's temple or whatever. You know, they thought in their mind that they would build a temple to Zeus or to Mars or to whoever it may have been. You notice a lot of gods are mentioned in the book of Acts. I'm trying to remember what they thought Paul was. Remember when that snake latched onto his hand, he shook it off into the fire? I think they said he was Mercury, the god Mercury, I think. But you can go look it up. But they thought if something unusual happened, they would attribute it to that god. You know what I mean? And that's what it was. So let's keep that in mind, because we say, oh man, that is messed up. You know, we know better today. Do we? Do we? Is there a god of pride that still works? Is there a god of wanting to be seen of men that still works? Yeah, it's a god. It's an idol. If you think you have to do that, is lusting after money. You know, I got to have this. I got to have that, you know, so I'll do whatever I can in order to get it. And we have other things that are getting people messed up in these days. It got them messed up back in those days, too. We hardly ever think about it that way, but drugs and alcohol, we think about that, right? Doesn't that cause us a lot of problems today? And people say, well, what was the big drug thing back there? I want you to go look up something. In the Old Testament, it talks about a woman allowing her son to gather mandrakes and bring them back to mom. And when they fix it a certain way, it was supposed to ease certain things in your body and so forth. It was a drug, and people got kind of hooked on it. I'm an Old West, Wild West aficionado. I love the Wild West. I love the things, you know, that I read about it and all of those things. And, you know, you heard of people like Wyatt Earp and their wives and all that stuff. Wyatt Earp's first wife became a laudanum addict. And it's a derivation of opium. And when they put it in a syrup, and so she had pain in her body, so she used to drink that to get rid of the pain, you know. One of the reasons that he separated from her is because she became an addict. And then she went into prostitution afterwards. His wife. And so this led her to a lot of things. She died, I think, in Globe, Arizona. Her grave is over there, the first wife of Wyatt Earp. So people say, oh, man, you're saying all these things, these people we know here and all this stuff, these famous people. That's true, and I'm trying to tell you they had problems. They had carnal problems. They murdered. They killed. It was very quick to kill another person, or to misuse another person, or to get a person hooked on something, or, you know, whatever it is. A lot of alcoholics in the Old West, a lot of them. Doc Holliday was one. He was an alcoholic, you know, because of the pain he suffered from his tuberculosis. So all of these guys, you know, there were things that, you know, you say, hey, they're famous, they're this, they're that. Hey, let me tell you, they're legends in their own mind, because what happens is that they become carnally thought, in thought, and carnally moved by things, and then it caused them to have pain in their life. That's what I like about these things. I read about the background of people. I don't read about, you know, how many fast draw and how many people they killed with their fast draw and stuff. I want to know about the person. And a lot of these people had so much going wrong in their thought. So much going wrong in their thought. But we lift them up as being famous, as being great, as being heroes. They're not heroes. Wyatt Earp was no hero. You know, that's just the way we lift people up. So how are we thinking about them? Carnally. So let me show you something here. First, let's do the Galatians one, I think. I think it's 3:16 Galatians, if I'm not mistaken. Oh, no, 5:16. Galatians 5:16. We'll try that first. Oh, yeah. Now, you see the title up here. Flesh tries to lead, spirit says no. Okay? Listen to what I'm going to talk to you about today. Verse 16 said, "This I say then, walk in the spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." What a big thing right there. The very first, if you walk in the spirit, you're not going to fulfill the lust of the flesh. And some of us think there's no way we can overcome some of the things that have come upon us. Say, will I ever stop doing this? Will I ever stop doing that? We think we can't. But that's because you're walking in the flesh. Okay? But if you walk in the spirit, what can God do for you? Walk in the spirit and you can overcome everything that's in the flesh. So that's how he starts off with this. "This I say then, walk in the spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." So you think about every lust that may come through that you pass through your life. But think about everything you loved and became familiar with and followed along with and whatever. Everything that made you weak, everything that took you to a place you didn't want to go. Think about what I'm saying. That is the flesh. That is the thought and the mind and the heart. You ever scripture says, except a corn of wheat fall in the ground and die, it abideth alone, right? But if it dies, it brings forth what? Much fruit. But think about this. What if that corn of wheat is the word of God that falls into your heart, the earth, your world, and it dies? And let me tell you how it dies. How many times have people come to us and talk about things of the Lord back when we didn't know God and we... I don't want to hear that mess, or you avoided it, or you try to get away from it, or whatever. Didn't you just crucify Christ? Or you say, that's not true. Didn't you just crucify Christ? Doesn't that seed go into you and die? But then, there's a resurrection, isn't there? See? And so it abideth alone. But what about when it starts to resurrect? What about when that blade comes forth from that seed? First it breaks through the ground. It's just a little blade is all you see. And then an ear, and then the full stalk, the full ear of corn, right? You allow it to grow. So once it dies, then it abideth alone. But once it dies, guess what? It brings forth much fruit. When Jesus died, did he bring forth much fruit? Oh, yes, yeah, still bringing it forth. Still bringing it forth. He fell into the ground, into the earth, came to the earth, and died. But then he what? Resurrected. Whew. Resurrected. That's the big thing. That's what we want, don't we? We want to be resurrected in Christ. Sit in heavenly places with God. We can do that while we're living, while we're walking around. Right now, you can sit in those places. You can be with Christ. You can sit on the right hand of the Father. Because as the Son is, so are we in this world. So as he sits there, can we sit there? Yes, we can sit in heavenly places in Christ. And it's all through the Spirit, isn't it? So this is how this works. Now, let me read the next part of this. This is the part everybody gets fouled up with. Let me read the first part again. "This I say, then walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law." Wow. Think about it. The flesh lusts against the spirit against the flesh. Let me put it a different way. The desires of the flesh try to lead. They try to lead and guide you and whatever. They bring carnal thought to you. You see what I mean? The flesh tries to promote itself. So it tries to lead. But then the Spirit says what? What does the Spirit say? No. Flesh lusts against the Spirit, but then the Spirit says, hey, my desire is for you not to yield to the flesh. So I say no. But the flesh is always wanting its desire fulfilled. Always. Always wants its desire fulfilled. The flesh, how you think. I want this. I want that. Whatever it is, whether it's something you see that's ethereal or something that's physical. You know, you say, well, I've always wanted a great love to come into my life or whatever. Well, that might be one of those ethereal things. Or you say, I want that new car, man. I got to have that car. It's something physical. You see how that works? So we have these things that come into our mind and we say, this is what I want. We put it as a goal sometimes, or what an expectation, you know, even a hope in a way, you know, and we say we want that to come to pass, right? But that's your flesh that's promoting that. It's a carnal thought. Not that all of them are bad, what you may want, but how you get to it and where you place it in priority in your thinking, that could be bad. If you want to have, you know, within itself, we have to earn money to live, right? But what if you have a lust for it? Ah, now it changes, huh? You don't care about anything else. You don't care about Jesus. You don't care about nothing. We do need money to live. So I have to go out, you know, earn money, do whatever, or get retirement, whatever it's going to be. We all have to do that. But we want that. We need that to live. But there are some people that lust after that, and that's all they want. They want that money. They'll do anything for it. And they'll kill people for it in order to get it. That's a powerful thing. So the lust becomes so great, and it lusteth against the spirit. Spirit's telling them constantly, don't, no, no, no. So what's involved with this flesh and spirit? The will. It's involved with it, huh? So you have a, what have we been talking about lately? Choices. You have a choice. You have to make a choice. The spirit will come to you and tell you that is wrong. You shouldn't allow yourself to go into that. But sometimes we do this and go, we do what we want to do because we love it. Or because we have the desire is so great for it. See, that's all that lust is a desire. God has a great desire, if you want to put it that way. It's for us to be saved, for us to come back to him. So he has a great desire. But the flesh is always lusting against the spirit. Remember that. Whenever the spirit wants to work, you're going to realize something's going to rise up and try to lust against that spirit, against what God has just told you, against the things that you heard in the word of God. Something's going to come up to try to come against it. That desire always tries to oppose the desire of the spirit. So it says the flesh lusts against the spirit against the flesh. Well, you think the spirit's just going to sit back and let the flesh do what it wants to do? No, God says, that's no. I say no to that. I'm going to bring forth, my son is there by anointing to bring forth help to help you to overcome what this flesh and this carnal mind is trying to do to you. Constantly there. He said, I will not leave you comfortless. Didn't he say that? I was with you, but now I shall be in you. I am present to help. I'm a very present help in the time of need. That's what it says, doesn't it? So Christ is there, but it's the matter of our will. Will we even look toward him? Will we even yield our thought and our mind to him? That's the key. Are we willing to do that? So that flesh knows that. It's going to keep pounding, keep doing what it wants to do to try to get you to go another way. But the spirit says, no. No, that's not the way it's going to work. Very powerful. So let me read you something here. This is not too long. It's 1 Corinthians. I think it's chapter 3, beginning of verse 1. And I like reading from this ESV because it says it very good. Let's see if I can put this up here. Okay, listen to this. I'm going to read this from the ESV. But I, brothers, could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. What is Paul saying? He said, I could not address you as spiritual people. They're not listening to the Spirit. They're not allowing the Spirit to say no to the flesh. He said, I can't address you as spiritual people. Why? Because you're carnal. You keep thinking the wrong thing. This is Paul writing to him and telling him. He said, I want you to put this in your heart and in your mind. I'm telling you this because I see this in the church. Aha, this is the key. It's in where? The church. I see this in the church. That's not the way I established this church. I want this to be different than that. Why am I seeing these things in the church? So listen to how he puts it. So, but I, brothers, could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. I fed you with milk because you weren't ready for any meat. I had to feed you that way because you weren't walking spiritually. I couldn't address you, brothers, as spiritual. Wait a minute. He calls them brothers. So they're in the church, right? But he said, something's going on here. You're still babes when you need to be growing up. I think Dan mentioned this a week or two ago in something that he said. It's the same thing. But the way I'm coming at it is what we have to do with this battle. Remember, we talked about a war, right? That's the war. The flesh lusteth against the spirit against the flesh. That's the constant war. That's the war we're in, sis. The flesh always wants to have its way. It wants to lead. But what happens with the war is, let the spirit come along and tell you, say, look, don't go that way. Don't be distracted. Don't be pulled off and go another way. Anyone that comes up any other way is the same as a thief and a robber. Don't go another way. Stick with the way that's right. I am the way, the truth, and the life, right? Stick with that. And so that's what the whole battle is about. The whole battle is our flesh against the Spirit of God. And you say, well, there shouldn't be much of a battle if the Spirit of God is involved. Yes, it is if your will is involved in it. Isn't that how it works? That's where the war comes from. It's a war for your will. Wow. Very powerful, huh? Think about what this is saying. He said, brethren, I couldn't even address you as being spiritual. I couldn't, because you're not. Yet, you're brothers in the Lord. Wow. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. And even now, you are not yet ready. Look at what he's saying. Is he being very truthful? Is he being very honest? He said, even now you're not ready. So now let me tell you what we're going to do. Let's see. Let's go further than this now. Even now you're not ready. For you are still of the flesh. For while there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving only in a human way? I like how this ESV puts it. Aren't you just behaving like any normal human being would? Well, we're supposed not to be normal human beings. We're peculiar people. We're supposed to be the people of God. We're supposed to be different than everybody else. Not that you walk out to try to be different, but because you have God in you, you will show forth as being different in manifestation. Isn't that true? This is what God wants us to see. He said, we're peculiar. Why are we peculiar? We got Christ in us. And we let him lead us by his Spirit. And we're not being led carnally like everybody else is. Their mind is, and we were there, didn't it say such were some of you? Before we came to know God, weren't we doing everything we thought we were big enough to do? We followed every lust, we did all of that. Until we found God, and God says, I want to change you. I want to take you a different way. I want to make you into a different being. I want to make a new man out of you. Didn't he say that? That's what I want you to do. So you have to follow him in order to do it. And what does that take? A yielding of your will. This is the war. Flesh against the spirit, spirit against the flesh. That's the war. And it told you all the things that manifest from that. Didn't it do that? Tells you all those things that manifest from it. This is powerful. How it started was, these people started saying, well, I'm greater than you, than the other person is in the Lord. Well, why? Well, Apollos is the one that talked to me, brought me forth. Another one said, Paul brought me forth. Another one said that. He said, all that stuff they did, they just did what God was telling them to do. I'm paraphrasing. And saying, it's God that gave the what? The increase. It's God that does it. That he just used them as vessels, and that's what he does to us. He uses us as vessels. But look at what he says. He starts naming some of these things. We talked about this last week, and it's a very powerful thing. I think it's 20. Actually, I don't even really have to go to it. The one in Galatians where it talks about adulteries, fornications, you know, all of those things that we read last week, remember? It tells you those are the works of the flesh. So it tells you what the works of the flesh is. It lets you know what it is. So you can't say, well, I don't know. I didn't know that. No, no, no. It's written there. It tells you what those works are. But it also tells you what the fruit of the Spirit is too, doesn't it? Love, joy, peace, all of those things. It tells you both, doesn't it? God's not letting us walk around here unaware. What he's doing, he's telling us what we need in order to walk with him. Very powerful thing. So listen to this other part here. According to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation, and someone else is building upon it. Let each one take care how he builds upon it. For no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it. It'll be tried, won't it? The day will disclose it because it will be revealed by fire. I love that. Didn't he say he'd baptize with the Holy Ghost and fire? Isn't the fire going to try every man's work? Every man's work. So if it's gold, silver, and precious jewels, it'll make it even more precious, won't it? It'll refine it. Isn't that what it'll do? But what about wood, hay, and stubble? If a fire comes to that, what happens? Burns it up. Burns it up. So you want to build things that are going to last. You want to make your treasure go into the heavens. That's the gold and silver that you want, not the stuff here. The gold and silver, the wisdom and understanding of God is what you want to store up as treasure in the heavens. What you've learned from God and you're returning back to Him, that's what you want stored up. Does that make sense? So this battle is constant. I'm just trying to get it across to you. We've been talking a lot of different ways about the flesh lately. And we have to understand we're not talking about this manifestation on the outside. Oh, this is a manifestation. It's a manifestation of flesh, but it's the physical thing, isn't it? What we're talking about is the flesh that's here, where your thoughts are, you know, where your heart is. That's what we're talking about, where your world is. And this is where God's trying to change it. In your world, there's going to be wars. There's going to be wars because this fight is going on all the time. Your flesh wants to take you one way, and the Spirit of God wants to take you another way. Isn't that powerful? Just to understand that. So this is the war we're talking about. Principalities, spiritual wickedness in high place. It's thought. It's all how you think. Doesn't it say? Didn't he say pulling down of strongholds in the other scripture? Casting down everything that doesn't come into the obedience of Christ. Bringing every thought into the obedience of Christ. Look at how this battle is working. And sometimes it shifts from one place to another, doesn't it? According to how our will is, what we allow in our lives. If we go to carnal thought and not spiritual thought, that battle can shift. Sometimes it'll distract us and pull us off another way, huh? Because that carnal mind in the flesh pulls you that way. But why does it pull you? Because there's already an affinity for it in your thought. That's why it pulls you. You have a lust for it already. Remember, one lusteth against the other. That's how it works. The desire is there. And from that desire, because we know what's in that flesh. What do we say it's in it? Satan's in it, isn't he? Satan's in that flesh. So as soon as you make that desire known to him, guess what he's going to do? Guess what he's going to do? That's exactly how this works. So the war, very important. It's a war for the mind. It's the war for the heart. I've even heard men say that even here. I think Lincoln said about the Civil War, this is really a war about our hearts, about how where our heart is going to be. Where is your heart? Is your heart for a union, to keep the union together and to get rid of slavery? Or is your heart to remain in an old system that causes us to be divided? That he said it's really a battle for the heart. If he can say that about something here, think about the battle for the heart spiritually. Christ is saying this. This is where I want you to be my people. I want you to be in heavenly places with me. I want to get everything back that fell and that was lost. That's what his is. But what's the other one? It's an antichrist thought. It's a thought that opposes God. The carnal mind is death to you. And it's enmity between you and God. What does enmity mean? An abiding hatred, an opposition. It's an opposition to God. So your carnal mind, your flesh is in opposition to God. And sometimes we don't think of it that way. Number one, we think we own this body. We think we own this mind. What did the scripture tell us? You've been bought with a price, dude. If you know me, if you're saying you're going to try to know me, you've been bought with a price. You're no longer your own, but we still think we are. Why is that? Why don't we want to believe that we belong to God and that God belongs to us. That's a question we need to ask ourselves. Why don't we want to think that way? Because that's the way it should be. This is the battle. This is the war. What God wants us to do is to understand that spirit is constantly telling that flesh no. So we should join it and say, no, we're not going to do that. That's what we should do. We should be on the side of the spirit. Does that make sense? I'm not going to keep you on. That's it for me. Anybody got any questions about anything that I said today? Realize the battle that you're in. For sure. Carnal. Wow. Flesh against spirit. That's what it is, huh? Let your will be the will of God, and you'll be blessed.